I do want to thank you all for praying for Kim and I. We love praying for you, but it means a lot that you pray for us.
Yes.
Very much needed and appreciated, and God answers it. So we're both blessed with praying moms. I think that's a big part of the blessing in our life. And you're an awesome congregation. Thank you for praying for us. So we're in our Lost and Found series, and I've titled the message today, I've Got Joy Because I've Got Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. I just want to amen what Dale was saying earlier about exalting, or I like to use the word encouragement, you know, encouraging each other. The Word of God says that we are to encourage each other, and I don't mind doing that. I think it's, you know, if the Word of God prescribes it, that's probably a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage you today. We'll see what God does with His Word today, but I want to encourage you to experience the joy of the Lord, because I've got joy, because I've got Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to look at Ephesians 2, if you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. As you're turning there in your Bibles to Ephesians 2, I want to share with you a quick story. I read about a king who pardoned two criminals, and they were both headed for execution. They were both going to be, they were on death row, they were both going to be killed for crimes they had committed, and the king decided in his grace that he was going to pardon both of these criminals. And the first criminal was so full of joy, overwhelmed with joy. He could not believe it that he received, he read the pardon. It was written out there, shown to him, and he read the word of the king, and it said, "You are set free." And he was just overjoyed, just the enthusiasm and excitement, and he couldn't wait to tell everybody, "I'm free, I'm free. The king has pardoned me. I'm so excited." And he was just, he couldn't believe it because he knew he didn't deserve it. But he believed what he read. He believed the word of the king. The other criminal, however, did not. He received that pardon and he read that, but he doubted. Instead of believing the character of the king who declared the pardon and believing the pardon that he was reading about, he just was focused on himself. He's like, I'm a no good criminal. I have done all these atrocities. Nobody would free me. This has got to be some kind of trick. And he was miserable. He was so miserable that he wanted to convince the other guy to also be miserable. He's like, "Don't get too excited. This has got to be, we don't deserve a pardon. This has got to be some kind of trick here."
Yeah.
And that second man, he missed out on the assurance and the joy that could have been his with that pardon. But the first criminal realized that the word of the king was trustworthy. And if the king has set you free, you are free.
Yeah.
And he had joy in that. He had joy in that. I want you to have that joy today. In Christ Jesus, he has given you and I assurance. He has given his word. And he has given us a reason, a lot of reasons to rejoice in Christ today. And as Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians, there is a rejoicing that certainly that comes across in chapter 2 here. He's looking at the blessings in Jesus Christ. He's looking at the not only salvation, but as we trust in him, all these wonderful things that Christ is doing in us and all these reasons we have to have joy. That if you have Christ Jesus, you have got reason to rejoice today. Let's start out in verse 1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh," that sinful part of our nature, "and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath." He's saying, listen, you were under that death sentence and you deserved it and you know it. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved." Praise God. What can a dead person do to help themselves? Nothing, right? You add nothing to it. Jesus did everything. It is by grace that you've been saved. The first thing I want us to recognize today from the Word of God is that he has transferred us from death in sin to life in Christ. You have been transferred. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have been transferred by God, by his grace, from death in sin to life in Christ. If you want to follow along in your bulletin, there's a little fill-in-the-blank there. And I would encourage you, please take note of scripture addresses as we go. Always check the Word of God out for yourself.
Yes.
Read things in their fuller context. Sometimes I have to kind of zone in on a smaller view, and you need to see the bigger context of the Word of God. Make sure you read it for yourself. God's Word tells us that your position and mine in this world is that we were dead. We were dead in transgressions and sins. Positionally, we were in the graveyard.
Yeah.
We were in the graveyard. That's what the Word of God is saying. How do you get out of the graveyard if you're dead? You don't, right? Not on your own. There was no hope forever in the graveyard, forever in that place of death with no way out, waiting for judgment, waiting for the wrath of God, His holy anger against sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, Jesus took us out of that graveyard of sin. When you trusted in Jesus Christ, your spiritual position went from graveyard to life in Christ. A quickening happened. A quickening, a coming to life, spiritual resurrection within you took place. To be alive in Christ, what a joyful experience. I remember when I first trusted in Christ back in the 90s, and I mean, I probably had the most stupid, somebody probably wanted to smack that smile off my face. I mean, I couldn't get rid of it, right? Just this joy of the Lord just welling up, and you can't control it. But He gives us, when He saves us and brings us out of death to life, we have so much reason to say, I've got joy because I got Jesus, right?
Amen.
Does anybody else, you relate to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not alone, right? Okay. Good. Praise God. Not only did Jesus bring us out of the graveyard and give us life, but we are seated in a place of grace, according to the Word of God. Verse 6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us in advance to do. God took you out of the graveyard, not only gave you life when you were dead, but has positioned you where? In the throne room. In the place of grace. God relocated us from the graveyard to the throne room. What does that mean? You've got His approval. You've got His assurance. You've got His kindness. You've got security. Nothing can snatch you out of His hands. You are in the place of grace. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. That means that you have the resources of God. You've got the perspective of God. Some of you, I know you use the Zoom meetings, and they used to call it teleconferencing with, I don't know if they even, is that a term anymore? Whatever goes with, my wife's a teacher, and they've got like the virtual class day sometimes with the kiddos, and Kim can teach from home when they do that, right? She can be at the kitchen table, and she's dressed nice, and she's ready for the day, and she's not in her pajamas. Hopefully the kids are ready for school, right? But there's this virtual meeting that takes place, a virtual classroom day that they have sometimes. And even though those kids are at the kitchen table at their house or in the living room, wherever they are, and there's a sense in which they are meeting, right, in the Zoom meeting or whatever. Is it Zoom? What do you guys use?
Google Classroom.
Okay, Google Classroom. And in Google Classroom, even though those kids are physically somewhere else, positionally they are in the classroom with Kim. Verse 6 is telling us God has transported you. Even though you are physically still on earth, there is a sense in which God has seated you next to Jesus in heaven, that you have a new position and a new perspective because of that. If you've ever been on an airplane, I was just complaining the other day about traffic around this area. I think it just shows my age. But, you know, we complain about road work, we complain about delays, I do anyway sometimes, or about all the traffic, or you know, here in a few months, probably snow on the roads. We complain about all these things, but something I noticed that when I am up in an airplane, with Kim when we're flying down to Fort Myers. When I'm up in that airplane, I don't care what kind of construction's going on down below, right? It doesn't slow me up a bit. I don't care what kind of snow. It doesn't matter because I've got a different perspective. What God is telling us is that you are seated with Christ Jesus in heaven. Your perspective is His perspective, or at least it can be, or it should be. Right? You are seated with Christ, and the problems down here are still real. They're still going on. Those things in your life, you're still physically in the midst of that, but you don't have to be controlled by that because you're positioned with Jesus. You are with Him. Your location has changed, and those things don't have to impact you in the same way now. God wants you to know that you can find freedom, that you can find joy, that alongside Jesus. I mean, how can you be miserable seated next to Jesus? I don't know, you know. We are with Him. We can have a new perception of life, a positional, it's a positional thing. You are with Christ now if you've trusted in Him. No matter what's going on down here, you can say, I'm with Jesus. I've got joy. I've got joy. Maybe the situation's difficult and I've got grief along with it, or I've got some tears along with it, but you know what? That joy is even greater. I've got joy because I've got Jesus. Verse 11, therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. What a miserable place to be.
Yeah.
I remember it. Praise God, He brought me out of it. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away from Him have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law and its commands and its regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Through Him we have both access to the Father through one Spirit. A third thing to recognize today, Jesus brought us near to God and to others. In Christ Jesus, we are brought near to God and to others. Jesus brought a whole new kind of peace. Sometimes I read over the word peace too easily in Scripture, and without it registering, listen, this is a supernatural peace. This is a power of God kind of peace. This is a new kind of peace. This is peace with God. Peace with God and the peace of God towards everybody else. The peace of God towards everyone else. You know, in our natural state, apart from that work of regeneration that God does, apart from that work that Jesus did for us on the cross, we are alienated from God. There would be no way for us to ever have peace with Him, and because we don't have peace with Him, we don't have peace within ourselves. We don't have peace with other people. But this peace, listen, sin divides. Sin divides. That's what death is, right? Death is a division. Whether it's death, division from the flesh, from the body, division from God, death divides, sin divides. Jesus unites. The gospel of Jesus Christ unites people. The Holy Spirit unites people. The love of God unites people. It doesn't divide. Paul, speaking of the Gentiles being divided or being separated from Christ, they were excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants and the promise, without hope and without God in the world. There in verse 12. But God, our God is relational. Does anybody have the Trinity totally figured out yet? Meet me after the service and help me. Yeah. If you can figure out God, you know, I'm just saying, I know y'all are pretty smart, but you don't have them totally figured out. And I don't totally understand Him, but I know I totally believe Him. And I know if He says it, whether I understand it or not, I believe it. God is relational. Before He ever made the human race, before He made the angels, He was Father and Son and Holy Spirit. He always has been. He is relational, and He created us as relational beings. We are made for relationship and fellowship. And Paul's rejoicing here. He's rejoicing that those who were far away have been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. When you and I repent, when you and I have that godly sorrow, something's amiss. Something in here, something in here, something is turned away from God, something's in darkness. I need to turn to God. God does this amazing work within us. When we yield our soul to Him, when we yield ourselves to Him, when we trust in Him, there's this peace that just washes over you. My flesh gets in the way some days. My heart gets in the way. There's days where I am discouraged. And the only reason is it's just me, right? I have no reason to be in Christ. Or there's days that I'm grieving over something that God's already forgiven. And God says, draw near to me.
Yeah.
Take me at my word. And when we do that, when we entrust ourselves to Him that way, He just, if we wait upon the Lord, He gives us peace that's just so much greater than whatever's troubling us, and it just washes away the worry. And He reminds us, He's saying, yes, you used to be an enemy, but you're my child now. That's all forgiven. That's all gone. You're in Christ Jesus. You are at peace with God as a child of God. And that peace with God results in peace with others. Sometimes we don't look just like Jesus. Do you know what people are your enemy? You don't have any. Our enemies are not flesh and blood.
No.
You don't have any. If you have peace with God, those who are far off are not your enemy. I want to give you an illustration. There was a father, and he was teaching his little girl about just the layout of the world. He had like a map that had all the continents and countries and of the world, and he tore it into tiny little pieces for his daughter. And they've been talking about the continents and the countries, and he said, I want you to apply what we've learned. I want you to put this all back together in the right place and put this map back together. It was just teeny tiny little pieces. And his little girl said, yeah, I'll do that, Daddy. I think I could do that. And like 5 minutes later, Dad was stunned. He was like, oh my goodness, she did it. She'd put it all back together. They had some tape there. It was all taped up and all mended. And here's everything just as it should be. And he's like, wow, I had that in like 100 little pieces. How did you do that? How'd you do that so quickly? She said, Daddy, on the other side of that picture of the world was a picture of Jesus. I turned it all over, and I put the picture of Jesus together and taped it up and turned it back over. That's what God does for me and you. You get Jesus right. You get peace with God right. It should look like peace with the world. Doesn't matter what nationality somebody is. Doesn't matter what political party somebody is. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what their education level is, what their income is, what kind of shoes they wore to church. It doesn't matter.
Nope.
Jesus is greater. Jesus is bigger. The gospel is bigger than that. And if you, listen, Satan wants to bring conflict and division. Don't buy into that. It's a lie.
That's right.
It's a lie. Jesus came to unite. That's one of the wonders of the gospel. Now, we're not united in error. I'm not saying that. There are times, you know, we can't agree with people, but that doesn't mean they're not loved. Jesus brought us near to God and made it possible for us to have peace. He says, as much as it's up to you, be at peace with everybody. Some folks won't allow it sometimes. They just won't be at peace. But that's not in you. That's on them, right? In you, in your heart towards them, your thinking towards them, you love and you pray and you bless because you're not an enemy, right, to anybody. I've got joy because I've got Jesus. I'm not at war with anybody. I don't hate anybody. Shame on me if that ever wells up. We try to justify it sometimes for different reasons, but there's no justification for it. There's no justification for it. Verse 19, let's continue. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Wow. Christ made us citizens of God's kingdom, members of his family, and living stones in the temple of God. Isn't he awesome? We are citizens of God's kingdom. Paul spoke about this transfer of citizenship in Colossians in chapter 1. And he praised God. He said, "For he has rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." There is a joy in knowing that I am a citizen of a kingdom that will never end. The kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of Jesus. And it is one of the joys of my life to know that I belong to that kingdom and nothing can take it away. I'm a citizen of that kingdom. We are members of God's family. In Jesus Christ, you are a son and a daughter of God. Brothers and sisters, with all believers all over the world, across the centuries and in the years to come, that you are part of the family of God. Have you ever experienced, like, I remember recently, a few months back, in June, Kim and I went up to Niagara for our anniversary. And God had a divine appointment for us. It was so cool. It was a really hot day. And we were in this welcome center type place because they had AC and ice cream. And we were in there hanging out. And I remember we were getting ready to leave from there. And later they were going to have the lights on the falls and everything. And we were going to go check it out. And I remember God just putting it upon my heart, probably a little bit of divine sorrow. Like, you've been kind of all about your comfort here and the AC and the ice cream. Maybe I have something else for you today other than being comfortable. And I was like, "Lord, you're prompting me here with something. What's going on? Do you have something that matters here for eternity? Do you have a conversation for us?" And I said, "God, my eyes are open. My ears are open. What is this? You know, do you have something for us, a conversation with somebody?" We ran into a couple ladies out there by the falls who God had been tugging on their heart, doing a new work in their life, speaking to them, getting into the Word of God for the first time. And one of the ladies was talking about, as we spoke to them, Heather, was talking about just this new thing. You know, just like, I keep running into people everywhere, these joyful Christians who keep, like, pointing me to Jesus. Like, all over in my life, you know, I'm watching The Chosen now, and I'm like, reading my Bible now, and I'm hanging out with this friend, and we're trying to understand the gospel, and just like, God's drawing me. And we're like, "Yes, he is." Praise God. And guess what? This is not an accident that we're having this conversation. We were so blessed. We were just so blessed by that conversation. But when you are in the family of God, he does that. We got to meet these brand new sisters in Christ. And immediately there was just like the whole atmosphere in our part of Niagara Falls changed. It was like some of heaven came down. There's just this peace of God, this joy. We're just exalting the name of Jesus together. We're holding hands and praying together. It is so good. And you guys have had that happen, right? You just start talking to somebody you never met him before. And you're like, "This is my brother in Christ. This is my sister in Christ. Praise God. This is awesome." And it's like you've been family forever. It's so good. Just the love, the goodness of God present. It's so good to be part of God's family. We've got reason to rejoice because we're part of the family of God. We're also living stones in the temple of God. Salvation is more than a legal relationship. It is that in part. I mean, there is that sense of being declared what you were not, right? You have the righteousness of Jesus. And there is a legal transaction. It was just that you were condemned until you came to Christ and received that grace from his blood through faith in him. But there's something supernatural that happens. There's something way beyond just legal standing that happens. There is something that happens where the Spirit of God comes into the believer, starts changing you, doing a work in your heart, and making you different than you were before. It happens individually. It happens collectively with all of us together. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, we are living stones being built into a spiritual house. God's saying, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are God's people that have the indwelling of the Spirit of God within you. It reminds me of a passage in 1 Kings chapter 6. I'm not going to read through it all today. Please check it out. It's beautiful. It talks about Solomon building the temple for God. But there's one verse I want to share with you from that chapter today. So many wonderful, fascinating details in this chapter. But verse 7 says, in building the temple, only blocks dressed, that means finished, blocks that were finished at the quarry were used. No hammer, chisel, or any other iron was heard at the temple site while it was being built. You know, there's coming a day in heaven where all of God's people from all of the centuries were all going to be, all the living stones gathered in one place in heaven. No matter, you know, whether you're Anglo or Hispanic or Black or Oriental, or no matter what, you know, whether you're siding on the building or whether you're brick or, you know, whatever type of part of the temple of God you are, but there's not going to be any sound of hammers or chisels, because God is going to fit everything together perfectly, and all of the shaping is going on down here. This is the quarry, right, here on earth. That God is changing us. He's doing a work here in the quarry called earth where he's making us more like Jesus. And someday he's going to finish that work and bring all of the temple together in heaven. All of God's people. But while we're here, God says that we have a ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. We are to be people who share not only joy, but the gospel. That share, this is a world that, apart from Christ, is hopeless. It is sick with sin. And we've got a message. God has given us a message, and we can tell people, listen, all that chaos in your heart, in your mind, all of that, if you trust in Jesus Christ, if you will turn away from that darkness and you'll trust in Jesus, the peace of God, peace with God, you can have that in your life. You don't have to live with the chaos inside anymore. You don't have to live with the condemnation anymore. You don't have to live with that pain inside anymore, and all those regrets and all that shame anymore. If you will come to Jesus and you will trust in the Son of God, you can have peace with him today. That's our message. Later in Ephesians in chapter 6, in verse 15, Paul said that our feet should be fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Reminds me of a verse in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. God says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. God wants us to be people who have joyful hearts in this world, but really pretty feet, too. Feet ready to go and share the gospel with everybody until he brings us home. If you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he invites you to do that. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done. And I would encourage you to do that. Don't put it off. Jesus came into this world to save you. He died to save you. He rose to save you. If you will trust in him, if you will say, Lord, I believe your word. I believe that I am a sinner, that I have lived life my own way, like a sheep gone astray, God. But Jesus, I believe that you died to save me. And I trust you. I believe you for that today. Brad said it earlier, before the communion time. It's a transfer of trust. That's what it's about. It's not just believing. The Bible says even the demons believe. You know, they know who he is.
Yeah.
It's not just an easy believism. It's not just saying, okay, this is maybe it's historically accurate. But it's saying, I need Jesus. Personally, I am lost. I need the forgiveness of God. And I'm not going to make excuses anymore. I'm not going to try to please him by being a good person anymore. I'm going to stop comparing myself to people that I think are worse. I'm just going to throw myself on the mercy of God and say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that you are a God who keeps his word, and I believe that you will save me in this moment if I will just trust in you and nothing else.
Yes.
If that's you today, don't wait. Don't wait. You're welcome to come up. Turn your life over to Jesus. It's the best decision I've ever made in my life. Mary and Kim was a great decision. Mary and Jesus was an even better one. I can't even take any credit for it. He dragged me kicking and screaming to the cross. I resisted, believe me, hard for a long time.
Mary and me are going to the cross.
No, the cross. Mary and you was easy. No. See, she didn't know all the, you know, all the negatives, right? She just knew a lot of the positives because we were dating and you just present your best side. Jesus knows all the worst. All the worst. And he still wants you. He wants to love you and make you his own even more than you want it. He's so good. He's so good. I'm going to pray for us. If that's you today, maybe you just, let's just all bow our heads for a minute and quiet ourselves. And Lord Jesus, God, you know me. You know every heart in this room, every life, every soul. Lord, we know that your word says that you created us, that all things were created by you and for you. You know us. We can't fool you. Lord Jesus, I pray for each and every person here today, Lord, up for the believers, that you would give assurance and joy that is rightfully ours, that you would fill us, God. I know that we have your Holy Spirit, but God, bring us under your authority. Bring us under your power, God, so that we can proclaim salvation as it should be. Jesus, we pray for any and all here today, Lord, who walked in here spiritually not alive, physically alive, God, but spiritually not alive, spiritually not knowing you, separate from the one who is life, who is truth, who is the way. Jesus, we know that it is not pleasing to you that anyone should perish. So we ask in your name that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would do what only you can do. Save. Save, Lord Jesus. Draw each one into a fellowship with you, a fellowship of grace. God, help hearts that came in far from you to draw near right now and just receive that pardon from the King that says, because of my blood and because you believe me, you are pardoned. You can walk out of here free. You can walk out of here with my spirit within you, God. We pray, Lord, you would speak that. That you would bless that right now. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true. We stand upon the gospel today. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.